But it's really good to be here. Excited about what the Lord's doing here. We've been mourning with you all since we heard of the tragedy that struck on Monday night. And I've been praying for Brother Mike and his family and with what's taking place there. And we'll continue to be praying here as time goes by in the days and weeks, and especially for the widow. Amen. To be praying once every, you know, the funeral's done and things go back to a new normal for her. So we'll be praying for the families. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 91. Psalms 91. And we're going to be preaching out of this text here this evening. I want to thank Pastor Sexton for allowing us to be able to come by and to preach tonight and to be able to present our ministry. If you have any questions about the ministry, feel free to ask. After the service, I'll do my best to answer. We're real excited about what God's allowing us to do as we move forward. Amen. With planting a church there. And, you know, God just, He's just God. I was sitting with Brother Blue one time, and I said something along the lines of, boy, isn't it good that God just knows everything? And he looked at me and he said, well, He is God. Amen. And He does know everything. And God, when we came back from Africa, His mercy to us was so great. And placing us in Sioux Falls, where we would need to be when Micaiah had his medical emergencies. And three times in the past year, had not God intervened through the physicians, we would have lost Micaiah. So we're so thankful for that. But if you'd have told me even 2 years ago that there was an African population in South Dakota at all, I would have said, you're crazy. I've lived in South Dakota all my adult life, and there's no Africans in South Dakota. But there are 7,000 Africans in Sioux Falls, and almost half of them fresh from West Africa. Many from East Africa as well, South Sudan, that whole region, but many from West Africa. And God has given us some fruit there in Sioux Falls already. We're excited about it and looking forward to seeing a church planted there and to be able to, if God would call men, to be able to see them sent back to West Africa. And but I also want to make this clear. I didn't make it clear in the video. We believe with all of our heart long term that God wants Angie and myself back in Africa one day. And God has set those parameters in our life where we cannot go right now because of Micaiah's health, and we're good with that. We don't look at Micaiah and say, oh, it's your fault. You know, we're very good with this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But the day that either Micaiah moves out of the house, if God gives us the green light, or if anybody here is a pediatrician, nurse surgeon, and says, I want to surrender to go to Africa with the Rubin family, amen, then we'll move back and get going there with the work that God has. There's such a, it's hard for me to explain it to you. I watched that, just watching that DVD, I feel like I got burned all over again as far as, it's hard to explain. It's the people, it's the place, it's the location. Man, they are so hungry. They're such a confused people, but they're so hungry for the Word of God. When we came back to Sioux Falls, we began knocking on doors in January and going to an apartment complex. And I'm telling you, Asians would come to the door, and they'd answer the door, invite us in, you know, want to talk about the things of God. Mexicans would come to the door. Man, yep, you're from the Baptist Church. They want to talk to us about the things of God. Africans, I mean, they come and they invited us in their home. We began having Bible studies. But white folks from America, you couldn't get in a door. I'm telling you, Americans by and large are not hungry for the things of God. They've eaten, they're full, and they've forgotten God. But there's so many folks that that are confused, and West Africans are so confused when it comes to religion and when it comes to things of God, but they want to talk about it. And in fact, they want to talk about it so much, I'm telling you, man, you come to a place, they're about to drive you nuts, amen? Because they want to talk and philosophize and this and that and everything else. But at the same time, when I said there, I'm not, and your pastor, Pastor Sexton knows, I'm not one of these guys that plays numbers games. I don't believe in trying to go get another notch in your belt. We had hundreds of folks that wanted to pray prayers, and they would add it to all the other religious things they've done. And we go through the gospel clearly time and again. When that deaf Muslim girl got saved, she was one out of 10 that got saved at the same time. We had been teaching for 3 months. We had not had an invitation. We began going back through the Bible with them from Genesis through the Bible. Same thing we're doing in Sioux Falls because they have a very fundamental misunderstanding of basic Bible stories, which then skews their understanding of salvation. And so we began going through and teaching from the Word of God all the way back to man and his sin and the blood sacrifice that had to be brought, these things. And to make a long story short, just as we taught through this there at the Deaf School, 350 students there. And so there came, I had a graduating class, and they were fixing to leave. They was going to graduate and go back all over Ghana. And we'd never see most of them again. And so as they came, it was the very last service I'd have with them. And so at the end of the class, I said, you know, we have not had what we would call an invitation, but how many of you would like to get saved? Well, I mean, 30 or 40 hands went up. And I said, I'll tell you, if you really want to get saved, if you want to learn about salvation and how to get saved, I said, come see me. I'll be in a different room. I was making them have to make an effort, number one. And number two, they'd have to miss lunch, because when our service was done, they all went to lunch. And in Africa, when you miss lunch, it's a matter of survival over there. It really is. And so it would mean something for them to miss lunch. So I went to the other room, and 10 students came in, and they were serious. And if somebody today tried to tell me there's not a God in heaven, I'd say, man, you don't know what you're talking about. I watched those deaf students. They began to pray after we went through the gospel with them again, and 10 of them began to pray in sign language, signing, and they began confessing their sins and telling the Lord how terrible. I mean, when I'm talking about signing and talking about how they've stolen stuff from these students over here and did this. I mean, I'm talking about crying, confessing their sins. And one girl said, "I can't sleep at night. I don't know why. All I feel is guilt." And she's just, it's all this being signed. But man, it's awesome to watch, even when you don't perceive that people are getting it and they can't really show you that they're getting it. It's awesome to watch the power of the Word of God in the hearts and minds of people. Amen. As God begins to draw folks to Himself. Amen. And so we're so thankful for what God did while we were there and for what God is doing and will continue as we trust Him and move forward in His will. All right, Psalm chapter number 91. The Bible says in Psalm 91, I want to read the first 9 or 10 verses here. And I promise, I understand the time. I don't want to go any longer than what God wants me to go, and I want to be very mindful of your time. But let me just read through this, and I'll preach through this as God gives us liberty. The Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we'll get into this psalm this evening, especially the first verse. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You for the safety You've given us in coming in and for those that have made it in tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that Your hand of blessing would be upon this service tonight. I pray, Lord God, that Thy Spirit would anoint me as I stand here, Lord, very humbly before You to preach Your Word. Lord, I know that I'm preaching to people and their ears and their faces, but Lord, it's going to take Thy Spirit to get to their hearts, Lord, to connect with their spirit, Lord God, and to, Lord, affect the change that You would like to see in each of our lives as You conform us closer to the image of Your dear Son. So please, Lord God, work and move in these next few minutes and impress upon our hearts what You would have for us to learn. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1, the Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And with the Lord's help tonight, and with great thanksgiving that I can stand here and preach the Word of God again, I want to preach on this thought, the secret place with God. The secret place with God. And I don't want to preach it maybe necessarily like I've heard it preached many times and preached it myself in years gone by. But there is a thought that the Lord has been burning in my heart as it relates to this passage of Scripture, and I'd like to try to share that with you tonight. Now, by way of introduction, I want to say tonight, and I think we all understand this, that every child of God should have a secret place. I think we understand that. There should be a time set aside. There should be a place. The Lord talked about a place, a closet, that we would go and spend time with Him in secret, and the Lord which heareth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so I'm speaking of a time and place, yes, but I want to try to get a little deeper than that and speak of an attitude and a way of life, not just a time and place in our day, but something that should be 24/7 as we speak of the secret place with God. And so I want to give you some points here out of verse number 1 tonight as you follow along. The very first word, the Bible said, He that dwelleth in the secret place. The word He is what I'm after. The first thing I want to point out about the secret place tonight is the word He. It is a personal place. And I want to thank the Lord tonight as I say that. You know, as we were praying together tonight corporately, we were praying as a body, we were praying as a church, we were praying as a called out assembly. And I thank the Lord for corporate worship, and I thank the Lord for corporate prayer, where the church gets together and prays. And God certainly desires for the church to do that. Amen. In fact, in the book of Acts, we find that the call of God and the sending out of the first missionaries was when the church ministered to the Lord and fasted, and they had a prayer meeting going on and praying the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. So we know there is a time and there is a place that as a church, publicly, we come into the presence of God. And that's a sweet time of fellowship, and I thank the Lord for that. But that's not the place that I'm talking about tonight. And I want to say that I'm thankful that in our homes we can have family altar. Amen. We can have a place in our homes where daddy gets a mom together with the kids, and I think it's something that we ought to do. Amen. We ought to, as a family, worship God together and pray together. And I'm thankful that we can have what we call family altar. Amen. Where we get together and pray. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about a personal place. A place where I can come into the presence of God. I'm glad that my wife can enter in the presence of God. I'm glad that my children can enter in the presence of God. I'm glad that you can enter into the presence of God. But I'm glad that there is a place that I can come and enter into the presence of God. Amen. There is a personal relationship. There is a personal fellowship between me and the Lord. In Psalm 42, verse number 1, the Bible said, as the hart panteth after the water brook. The idea there is an animal that's panting after water. The psalmist said, my soul panteth after thee, O God. And I want to ask you tonight, and I don't want to kind of come down here and preach to you. I don't know what kind of a secret place you have, but I want to ask you tonight, is there a desire in our hearts tonight to come into the presence of God? Is there a desire to live in the presence of God? Is there a desire to walk in the Spirit of God, to spend that time in that place with God throughout the day? Like Enoch of old, I'm glad that you and I can walk and we can talk with God. Amen. I'm so thankful that I can. Enoch, the Bible said he walked with God and was not. And I hope the rapture takes place one of these days real soon, and I'd like to be walking and talking with God and for the world to say, James was not. Amen. He disappeared. He's gone. Because he got to walking and talking there with God. But I'm saying, do you have a time? Do you have a place where you spend with the Lord? It's a personal place. And by the way, and I don't want to preach this too much. I just want to, because there's some other areas that I believe the Lord wants me to really deal with tonight. But God keeps track of the time that we spend with Him. God keeps track of the time that we spend in our secret place. In Jeremiah chapter number 2 and verse 32, the Bible said, can a bride forget her attire? Have you ever went to a wedding and there's the bride, and the boy, the door opens and there she is with her father, and everybody looks back and they put their hands and say, what in the world, man? Where's her wedding dress? Hey, she's just wearing regular clothes. Where's her wedding dress? No, that would be very unusual for the bride to say, I can't believe it. In all the activity that was going on, I forgot to put my wedding dress on. It doesn't happen. A bride cannot forget her attire. But the Bible said, my people have forgotten me days without number. God keeps track of how much time we spend in the secret place. In Revelation chapter number 3, it's sad. The Lord had, you know, man, we've been, how many of you are saved tonight by the good grace of God? Man, we have the privilege of coming into the secret place with God. And the biggest sin, I believe, of this day and age is that God has to stand at our heart's door and say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We should be assailing the gates of heaven, begging God for His presence, for time to fellowship with Him. And instead, He comes and He stands at our heart's door and He begs us for time for you and I to spend with Him. My soul, but I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful that it's a personal place. And then I want to say, number two, it's a permanent place. And here's where I want to kind of go a little bit of a different direction than just speaking of the time and the place. When I say it's a permanent place, the Bible said here, He that dwelleth. And the wording that God uses is dwelleth. God's not talking about just a place that we come to and then we go from. God said, He that dwelleth. And Webster defined the word dwell as to abide as a permanent resident, to inhabit for a time, to live in a place, to be in any state or condition, to continue, to be fixed in attention, to hang upon with fondness. The idea there is it's a place that we live. Amen. I dwell now. Right now, I may happen to be here right now, but I dwelleth in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Amen. That's where I call my home. That's where I live. That's where the majority of my time is spent. And the idea there is God is saying, He that dwelleth. And I'm telling you that the secret place that this passage is speaking of is not just a few minutes a day or even a sweet hour of prayer. It's not just that closet. But the secret place that I'm talking about, it is a permanent place. In fact, verse 9 of this passage said, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." The secret place is a place that becomes our habitation. It's a place of refuge. Amen. And so I say tonight that the secret place is more than just that boring 5 minutes of prayer that some Christians spend. And it's more than just that sweet hour of prayer that we sing about. But the secret place that I'm talking about tonight is a state of mind. It is an inner sanctuary of the heart. It is a place where we can live and reside as Christians. I'm glad right now, there's a secret place between me and God that nobody else can come into. It's a private place. I'll talk about it. It's our place. Amen. It's our and what I'm trying to say is it's an attitude tonight. It's an attitude of mind. It's a state of mind. There are priests that would come and go into the temple of God. There in the Old Testament, you read of all the priests that come and go. But there were folks like Anna and folks like Simeon who dwelt in the presence of God, who just lived in the temple. They stayed there in the temple. And I understand this evening that, there are times. I'm not suggesting for a moment. Right now, I've been building houses for the past year. And I know that I can't be out on pump jacks putting siding on the third story of a house. Amen. I can't be up there with a hammer or with an air hammer and up there and read my Bible and praying. But I'm telling you, when I spend my time with God in the morning, I can leave that secret place. But the secret place doesn't end. There's fellowship between me and the Lord. I can walk out of there walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I can walk out of there living and dwelling in the very presence of the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God is not just relegated to church services where God sweeps through in a wonderful way. It's not just relegated to that time of family altar. It's not just relegated to that time where I'm spending with God in prayer. We can live and we can walk and we can dwell in the Shekinah glory of God each and every day. I believe that with all my heart. I do. I believe that. There are folks that come into the presence of God and they leave the presence of God, and then there are folks that come in the presence of God and they just don't leave the presence of God. Y'all have met folks. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. There's some folks you come into the presence. It's like walking in the presence of Moses. He come off the mountain out of the presence of God. Man, his face was still shining. Amen. The glory of God was still strong upon him. And I'm saying we can dwell in that kind of a place with God. I believe that. Amen. I believe that. There are Christians that are hit and miss Christians. They enter into communion with God at their own convenience. They leave at their own. If we could say it this way, they have spiritual ADHD. They come in the presence of God, and as soon as something else excites them, they're gone from the presence of God. They come to church for revival meeting, missions conference, and get on fire for God. Amen. And once the revival meeting's over and the mission conference is over, there goes the fire. Something else got their attention. But I'm saying that there are folks that come in the presence of God, they just stay in the presence of God. And that's the kind of Christian God wants you to be. You say, well, that's something out there that I have to attain. No, that's just something you just do. I don't have to think about it. Well, I think I'm going to go live in my house tonight. Amen. I just live at 1804 East North Star Place. Amen. That's where I live physically. And spiritually, I'm telling you, you and I can live and walk in the presence of God. Psalm 1 said like this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But then it goes on in the next verse, that his delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. When's he meditating? Day and night. He's just constantly in the presence of God. Joshua 1:8 speaks of the same thing. In the presence of God. Living and dwelling in the presence of God. I'm asking you, do you live in the presence, in the shadows of the Shekinah glory of God? Do you live in the presence of God? And I want to say this, we're either dwelling in the presence of God or we're living with the philosophies of this world, one or the other, on a day-by-day basis. And then number three, it's not just a personal place, and it's not just a permanent place. And I don't mean to be redundant here, but the Bible calls it our private place. Amen. It says it like this, "He that dwelleth," so he's personal, "dwelleth as permanent, but in the secret place." It's a private place. And as we go through this whole passage, we would see many phrases like "dwelling place," or "under his wings," or "my refuge and fortress," or the phrase "cover thee with his feathers," or the phrase "thy habitation." And the point is, it's a private place. It's a place of where it's between me and God. It's intensely private. That's why the psalmist called it the secret place. No one else can come into my secret place with God. No one else can interrupt my secret time and place with God. Amen. You can't, not unless I let you. I can't come between listen, my wife loves the Lord with all of her heart and all of her soul and all of her mind and all of her strength. And she has a life, of lifetime of living that backs up that she loves God with all of her heart. And the reason my wife loves me to the extent that she does is because she loves God more. Amen. And she dwells in the secret place with God. And listen, I love my wife, and I'm telling you, I can tell my wife, do this or do that, and she'll do this or do that. Amen. And I'm not here suggesting that, you know, somebody say, well, you tell your wife to jump and she's supposed to say how high. That's not what I'm saying. My wife desires to please me. But I'm telling you, listen, if I was not right with God and if I was not living with God, my wife still has a secret place with God, and she's closer to God in that sense than she is to me. And I'm telling you, that's what brings the two of us together. Amen. Because if she's getting close to God and I'm getting close to God, it draws us closer together. But I was preaching just a few weeks ago, and there was a lady there as I was preaching, and there's some issues there within the marriage, and the husband is not very thrilled about the fact that she loves God and is not very thrilled about the fact that she wants to be in church. But I'm thankful, amen, that a husband can't come between his wife and God. Amen. That's her private place with God. It doesn't matter what he does or how he acts or how he reacts or what wrong. Listen, and the same way around, if it's a husband serving God and the wife's mad because he's in church all the time and he loves God more than... Listen, nobody can come between you and God unless you let them. Amen. It's a private place. Amen. It's a place. Listen. You can see the outside of me. I can see the outside of you. But listen, nobody can dictate. I can't dictate the thoughts of my wife towards God or against God. I can't dictate the conscience of her mind. I can't dictate the desire of her soul. Amen. So the secret place of prayer that we talk about, that time where we go into our closet, I believe that's a natural byproduct of having a secret place with God in our heart. And I'm telling you, somebody said, well, I got a secret place with God. Well, if you're never in the prayer closet with God, you probably don't have a secret place in your heart. Amen. It's going to be in an attitude before it's revealed in your actions. Amen. And so I say, and there's so much I could say there, but I want to move on because I got a couple other things I want to try to give you tonight that I believe the Lord wants me to give to you real quickly here, and then we'll be through. But so we see it's a personal place, it's a permanent place. We see that it is a private place, but then I want to say that it's a powerful place. And this to me, man, I love this part right here. Okay, the Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place," and notice how the King James Bible puts it here, how the Holy Ghost made sure that it was put into the Word of God. He didn't say, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of God," and he could have said that. But what he does is describe the one that we're spending time with. He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." And repeatedly, you'll find him referred to as the Most High or the Almighty in this passage. And it's interesting, if you just go back to Psalm 90 verse 1, the Bible said, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And so there is a reason that our text repeatedly refers to the Most High God and refers to Him as our habitation and calls Him, we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Moses in verse 1 of Psalm 90 alluded that he was dwelling, that God was his dwelling place. And he began to speak of the eternality and the omniscience and the omnipresence and the omnipotence of God. But here's what I want to say with that tonight. When he said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High," God wants you to know tonight that when you come into his presence and when you're living in his presence, he is the Most High God. And that means something. You can't get any higher than the highest. You can't get any more than the most. Amen. God is the Most High God. When I say that I am dwelling in the secret place with God, I'm talking about the God of gods. I'm talking about the King of kings and the Lord of lords. When we are in the secret place with God, do you understand tonight that you are dwelling in the shadows of Almighty God? You have the one who stepped out onto nothing and said, "Let there be light." He is there for you. That man, Isaiah chapter number 40 and 41 talks about how that God, the Bible said that when God measured, we're talking about the one that we spend time with. I'm talking about God now. How much time do we spend with Him? How big is your God tonight? I'll tell you, you can show a man how big his God is. I'll tell you how big your God is, but how much time you spend with Him. Amen. I mean, if he's not real big and he's not, you don't value him much. Amen. I'm telling you, those that know God and understand his power and understand the promises that he's given us, man, you can't help but want to spend time with him all the time. Amen. Because you realize how great he is. You see, Isaiah 40 said that he measured out the sky with the span of his hand. Go out there and look at the sky tonight if the cloud covering goes, all right? Look how big that sky is. They talk about the light years out there, and I can't get my mind. I'm still trying to figure out who got the measuring tape and measured that the moon was 90,000 miles from the earth. Amen. How'd they figure that? I don't know how they figured it. They got it figured out. I just don't know how. I'm saying, you began to look out there and how far away the sun is and the universe. The word uni means a single. The word verse is a spoken sentence. I mean, a single spoken sentence. God said, "Let there be," and it was. That's the God that we get. You say, "What are you trying to say, preacher?" I'm trying to say, my problems seem to pale in significance when I come into the presence of a God who's as big as what He is. Amen. If He could step out and say, "Let there be light," and the light appeared, and let the dry land and the wet land or water, however He said it, let it be all divided, and all the work that He did, and it was so. God stepped out there and God just made the animals and made the flying fowls and God made the fish in the sea. Man, I'm telling you, think about all God did in those 7 days of creation. Amen. And that's the one who I come into His presence and I can live in His presence. It's a pretty big God. There's nothing that God cannot do for you this very day. You say, "Well, that's God you're talking about, and that's the Bible times that great things happened, and this is 2016, and this is little old me." I'm going to tell you something. God is looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart's perfect towards Him. The Bible said it like this: "What father's there among you? If your son came and asked you for a fish, would you for a fish give him a serpent?" I wouldn't. He's coming down here yesterday. We's driving across the way, and we's getting a little tired and a little hungry. And we're just going to stop. I always just eat on the road and we keep it moving. I mean, I want to get from point A to point B as fast as I can. And I don't want to prolong trips. And so we just eat on the road. And Jesse called from Jimmy. Jimmy and Jesse's riding the vehicle. And Jesse's like, "Hey, Dad," they don't know what steak and shakes are up in Africa or in South Dakota. Amen. There's no such thing. And Jesse's like, "Hey, Dad, can we stop a steak and shake?" And I'm like, I was just thinking of, something just quick and just, I thought, well, steak and shake's fast food. We'll get through there. And that was held us up 40 minutes at the drive-thru at Steak and Shake. I was not very happy. But I stopped there for one reason, because my son asked. And I thought, he hadn't had Steak and Shake in several years. I want to get him a burger from Steak and Shake. And man, I'm telling you, I regretted it. The whole 40 minutes we sat there in the drive-thru, amen, I regretted it. But I was happy to do it for my son, amen. God's given us our, man, we want to, without compromising any of the principles of God's Word, man, we want to please our children. Amen. There's nothing wrong with being a father. Amen. Wanting to please you. Man, he said, "Listen, if your son come and ask you for a piece of bread, would you, or an egg, would you for an egg, would you give him a stone?" we want to please our children. And the very next phrase says, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give good gifts to them that ask Him? I'm telling you, God's sitting up in heaven. He wants to be a father to you. What problem did you walk into church with tonight? What situation do you have that you say, well, He's a big God and I'm little me and this is 2016? I'm telling you, God is still God. And He's still the Most High God. And He is still as omnipotent as He's ever been. And God wants to move heaven and earth, amen, to help you as you bring glory to Him and try to fulfill His will in your life, amen. And the problems that we have and the trials that we go through and the sufferings that we have, God's for us. He's not against us, amen. But God allows things in our life to draw us into that secret place to spend time with Him so that He can comfort us, that He can let us know how much He loves us, amen, how much He cares about us. The Bible said casting all your cares upon Him because He careth for you. God, I want to remind you tonight, no matter who you are, what your situation, and God cares for you. God cares. He's a man. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And He wants us to cast our sorrows on Him and our grief because He already bore it for us, amen. He cares. I'm saying, I'm coming into the when I'm in the presence, brother, of the Most High, He's the Most High God. And you know, we say, well, I got this little financial issue, or I've got this little friendship issue, or I've got this big family issue that's blowing up, or I've got this physical health issue. I'm going to tell you something. When you get into the secret place, and you don't have to wait to go to a place, what I'm trying to tell you, man, just talk to the Lord about it. When it comes to your mind, talk to Him, because He wants to hear. And He in His sovereignty has decreed that His hand will move in accordance with our free will. When our will is lined up with His will, amen, He'll move on our behalf. I believe that with all my heart. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through tonight? I'm going to tell you something. God specializes in things thought impossible. I'm telling you, that's what He does. He's God. He delights to, if it could happen naturally, He wouldn't get glory out of it. He delights to step in. And I'm telling you, work miracles in 2016 just because He can, just because He's God, amen. And he delights when we pray in faith and believe that, amen. He's powerful. Psalm 89 said, for who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened? Our world always looking for superheroes, and this guy can do this, and look at this guy, how much he can lift, and how much I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can be compared to the bigness of my God. Amen. And I get to dwell in His presence. Amen. I want to say, number five, it's a protected place. Notice the wording, shall abide under the shadow. Why does He say under the shadow of the Almighty? Because under His shadow is protection. So I believe in living in the will of God. Amen. Because there's protection in the will of God. When we're in the presence of God, there's nothing can... We hear it. It's not just a trite phrase, folks. It is a reality. Nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through the hand of God. Amen. There's nothing that is assailing this church or even the family in the church that's suffering tonight. Nothing can touch us. We give Satan, we say, oh, Satan's fighting over here, and Satan gets in our sound systems. And we talk about all these things that Satan does. I'm going to tell you something. We give Satan a whole lot of credit. Amen. When God's allowing him to do things so that God can show Himself strong on our behalf. Amen. Did not God allow Satan to assail Job? Why? To prove to Satan that a man would serve God for nothing. Amen. Job, he was the benefactor in the end. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a protected place. It's a protected place. God's my fortress tonight. You can have Him as your fortress. It's a place of protection. You can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Nothing can touch me without permission from Almighty God. I'm telling you, I need to understand that, know that more today than ever in my life. Nothing can touch me. No one can touch me without God's permission. The Bible said it like this. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous running into it and are safe. Amen. And in the secret place, there's protection from the hand of Almighty God. Amen. He called, man, if we cross-reference the 10 verses I read, He called Himself a refuge, a fortress, a strong tower. And then He said He'd cover us with His feathers, put us under His wings, and you can take that to the bank. Amen. That's what God wants to do for you. There's a song that folks sing today, why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this same Jesus that I'm preaching about, He's near. Amen. I'm telling you, He's near to you tonight. Amen. He's near. And I'm telling you, you can turn to Him and there's protection in this place. This is why the Bible said in Philippians 4:6, and said, I'm just going to just do a little talking here as I wind up tonight, a little bit of teaching. Philippians 4:6 and 7, the Bible said, be careful for nothing. Can I just, in modern lingo, we would say, don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known. In everything. That's everything you can go through. With thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. That, see, we have burdens, and we have things that assail us, and we have sorrows, and we have enemies, and we have folks that would want to do us harm, and all this kind of stuff. But God said, when that happens, I want you to come to me and let your request be known unto me with thanksgiving. And then he said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. That means it'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm saying, when we understand that secret place that we can live in on a day-to-day, I'm telling you, I don't want to live anywhere else. Amen. I want to live in the secret place with God. It's a place of protection. And then I want to say as I close up tonight, it's a precious place. It's a precious place. Think about how big God is and how little we are. Isaiah 40 said, with the span of His hand, said He poured the ocean out of the palm of His hand, said the nations are a drop in the bucket. That's where that phrase came out of. A drop in the bucket. It came out of Isaiah 40. And He said the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. We're just little puny old grasshoppers. That's what next time you start thinking, oh, look at me, look how big I am. Look at, well, you're a grasshopper. Here today, gone tomorrow. Could be stomped, and God could stomp anyone if He wanted to. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make is that God, He said, man, there's a bunch of little grasshoppers down there, but I love them. They're my creation. And I love them so much I died for them. And I want them to spend eternity with me. And in addition to all that, while they're going through the sojourn of life, I want to spend time with them. That's precious to me. That the God of heaven, I'm being honest with you. I was raised in the independent Baptist movement, if you could say it that way. My dad was a pastor, man, from the time I was little. I mean, my uncle's a pastor. That's all I've ever been around. And God saved me when I was 17. You know as well, I'm not trying to be mean. The Lord knows my heart. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm not trying to be ignorant tonight at all. Your pastor's a special pastor, and your pastor's a special man. And I'm not saying this to flatter him. I'm saying I've been in places and in churches where there's big eyes and there's little U's. Where it's like, look at me. And your pastor's not like that. I've been around folks. I had Bobby Robertson told me, the pastor out at Gospel Light in Walktown, North Carolina, years ago, 1998, I sat down and we ate a breakfast with him. He called it the Greasy Spoon. And we sat out there and ate biscuits and gravy. And he said, Brother Upman, he said, you want to know what makes me sick? I said, what makes you sick? You know, I'm thinking this is, a man of God that God's used over the years. And he said, I've watched pastors come to meetings that we've had, and I've watched missionaries come in, and I've watched pastors get up and walk the other way. I've watched pastors, you know, say stuff like, well, missionaries can't preach. And I know there's pastors and missionaries that can't preach. That's not what I'm pointing at tonight, though. But what he was driving at, and the point I'm making is that I don't care what profession you are. I've watched men in the secular world get a little power, go to their head, and they think, look at me, and I don't want nothing to do with you. I had an assistant manager. He was a great guy until he became the assistant manager. And then next thing you know, I mean, we were little peons. And I mean, and he let us know every day that we were little peons, and I don't care if it's politics, I don't care what walk of life. I've seen that. But I'm going to tell you something about God. God ain't that way. Amen. God, He condescended to us. He's the Most High God. If there's anyone that could say, Ruttman, you are a peon, and you don't deserve to come into my presence, it's God. But you know, He's looking for me to come into His presence. He likes it when I pray. He likes it when I cast my cares on Him. I'm telling you, man, I don't know about you, but God talks with me through His Word. God, I mean, George Beverly Shea, yeah, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. My parents had a record player when I was a kid, dating myself, and we would hear George Beverly Shea singing, and He tells me I am His own, and God does that with me. He walks with me, and He talks with me. And tells me I'm His own. There's been times people didn't want to walk and talk with, but there's never, ever, ever been a time that God said, I don't want to walk and talk with you anymore. There's been times that maybe I've had sin in my life and that separates between me and God, but even in those times, God, He's reaching out to me. The goodness of God leads to repentance. Amen. He's good and He's precious. And I love Him tonight, and I hope you do. Let's pray. Lord, please take this message I've tried to preach tonight. And I pray that You would help us to understand, Lord, the specialness and the preciousness of the secret place that we can have with You, Lord, that we can walk in the presence of God. And Lord, I want to thank You tonight that You allow us to walk in Your presence. You said in Isaiah 57, verse 15, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." You identified who You were. You defined who You were. But then You said, "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a broken and a contrite heart." And Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand how big You are and how little we are. And Lord, that we would humbly come into Your presence. And Lord, spend time every day and spend every day and spend months and spend years and one day look back and say, "I spent my life with the lover of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ." Help us, I pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.